Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, please. Thank you, ladies. What a blessing. That piano is so well used. Amen, amen, amen. What a blessing. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Amen. Philippians, for a series on Wednesday evening, I've been endeavoring to preach about rejoicing in Christ Jesus. Now, I remind you that Philippians is four chapters. It's a prison epistle. And yet within these four chapters, you will find the word joy, rejoice, rejoiced, or rejoicing 14 times. And in fact, you'll also find it implied, and you'll see that in our text tonight, in other ways. So I just ask you to consider that whatever the circumstance, we're to rejoice in Christ Jesus. And by the way, as I endeavor to preach this, I'm tried on it, so praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 12, would you please? Chapter 2, verse 12. Let me stop right there for just a moment, though. Baby dedication service. Someone asked me, said, well, how's that going to work? We're going to go through a regular service. We're going to have special music. A choir will sing. And I'm going to preach a message. And at the invitation, we're going to bring the babies up front. With their parents, with their parents. Now we just want them all around, crawling around and all that, you know. So it'll be wonderful. I'm excited about it. And I'm thankful for families that rear children. I'm so thankful. Look at verse 12, please. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, and not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Now watch this. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Notice what Paul said. He said, work out your own salvation. Now, that does not mean work to be saved. It doesn't mean that good work is a condition or a means of salvation. It means being saved. He's writing to believers, being saved now because you are saved, serve God. Work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation. And I'm going to title this Salvation That Works. Now, you're here tonight on a Wednesday evening, and I'm just grateful that you're here. Good to have everyone. I'm going to talk about serving God and about good works in the life of the Christian. But probably this isn't the best assembly for that message because the folks that are here in this room tonight typically are working within the ministry. The folks that serve are frequently or generally, usually here on a Wednesday evening. So this may not be a very convicting message. I don't know, but it's where we are next. Look at it. Let's start in verse 12, and let's read down a few verses. Verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Work out your own salvation. Brethren, let's pray. Our Father, we are so thankful that we have the liberty, the means, the opportunity to assemble in this place. I am grateful for the fellowship of the brethren. I'm grateful for individuals that serve you. I'm grateful, Father, for your grace and mercy in our lives. I ask you to speak to our hearts tonight. And Father, come what may, help us to be mindful to rejoice always. We ask in our Savior's name, amen and amen. Amen and amen. You know, I'm so grateful tonight that salvation is an assurance. What did we sing a while ago? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And I hope tonight, and I trust tonight, that you have an assurance of salvation. Back when I was young, I'd say, well, I hope I go to heaven. I understand good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. I'm not so good, but I want to go to heaven. I didn't understand that the only way anyone will be reconciled to God is through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If any individual could justify himself before God through any good works, then the Lord Jesus Christ did not have to come to Calvary. But he had to come because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's none righteous, no, not one. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But within the New Testament, within the Scriptures, there's an assurance of salvation. And if your confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ, remember this, Hebrews 7, he is able to save to the uttermost. In Job chapter 19, verse 25, oldest book in the Bible, Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul said, we know if our earthly house were destroyed, we have a house in heaven not made with hands. That's not a good quote, but that's a paraphrase. And 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, Paul said, I know whom I have believed. John said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You know, sometimes people say, well, I'm just not sure about it. I'm not sure I understood. I'm not sure I said the right things. I'm not sure I prayed right. And all that, you see, all that's about me. Well, just forget about me. And put your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith, well, the object of that faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is able to save to the uttermost. And he's not willing that any should perish. He is able to save to the uttermost. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And I'm grateful for that. Now, he does spank his own. He will chasten his own. But he doesn't cast anybody out of the family. Look, you were born physically into the human family. A natural birth. All of us come the same way. Well, you're born into the family of God through a spiritual birth. Marvel not the saying to thee, you must be born again, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, you're born into the family, a spiritual birth. Can a baby be unborn? You can't be unborn. And God doesn't kick anybody out of the family. He does discipline his own. That's because he loves us. He loves us. But if you have an assurance tonight, now, why are we here? What are we supposed to do? You say, I know that I'm going to heaven when I leave this old world, but you're not there yet. You're here. So why are you here? Why am I here? God has a purpose for us. And here in this passage, Paul exhorts them, work out your own salvation. Number one, the command to work. Work out your own salvation. This command is not a condition of salvation. It is not salvation by works. By the way, I have, through my adult life and my years as a believer, I have talked with so many people that believe in some kind of work salvation. So many religionists that believe in some kind of work salvation. Well, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. But yet, having that assurance, you're not in glory yet, Christian. You're here, so you must be here for a purpose, and you are. And you are to be his ambassador on this earth. You're to represent him. You're to serve him. You and I have a responsibility. We have been given a commission. Whose responsibility is it to tell the world about my Savior? It's you and it's me. It's us, believers. Whose responsibility is it to advance to continue the work that our Lord Jesus established? It's us, church. It is us. So Paul says, work out your own salvation. The command is to work. Now notice what he said. He said, wherefore, my beloved. Wherefore points back to something he's just written. And the best example, the best possible example of good works would be my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look back at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And the text really continues, but notice in verse 7, he made himself of no reputation. Notice he took upon him the form of a servant. He served others. Son of man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And in verse 7, he was made in the likeness of men. 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Obedient even unto death. So, verse 12, wherefore, the example of my Savior, wherefore, my beloved. Notice the affection that Paul has for believers. You can sense it in all of his writings. Even in his letters of correction, you can sense that he has a love and a compassion for them. He says, wherefore, my beloved. My theme this year, therefore, my dearly beloved, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. He says, my beloved. Now watch this. As you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I am certain that Paul motivated them while he was in Philippi. We studied Acts chapter 16 and 17 some weeks ago in the account there of his church plant in Philippi. And I'm certain that the converts, the people who came to know the Lord Jesus, the church that was established, I'm certain they watched him, and I'm certain he motivated them to service. And that's the sense of it. My beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed. But then he says, not in my presence only. You see, he wasn't there. He was in prison at the time. He wasn't there. This is a prison epistle. So he says, in my absence. Now, there's something that you will observe occasionally. You'll see a church where the people are serving and something happens to the pastor. Maybe he goes to heaven. Maybe he goes somewhere else. I don't know. Something happens to the pastor. And you'll see people that just don't continue to serve. Now listen, don't base your service on any man, even a good man. Don't base your service on that. You keep your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Mrs. Grimes and I, we had some hard lessons when we were new in the Lord. I mean some hard lessons. But I learned from that because we met a preacher and he influenced me greatly. And he fell and left the ministry and it broke my heart. And then it happened a second time. But it taught me this, and I have so many regrets and I'm not trying to lift myself up as the model, but it did teach me something is this: keep your eyes on Jesus. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. And that's the sense of this. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, work out. You're saved, now serve God. You're here for a purpose. You're to serve Him. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, so frequently, you'll read a passage about salvation. You'll read a passage about grace or a passage about mercy, and it's followed with an exhortation to service. I mean, for example, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. But if you remember verse 10 continues. It says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Okay, you're saved by grace through faith plus nothing. You're saved by the grace of God. Faith is your response to the gospel. It's not of works, and you have nothing to boast about. But then it says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You read Titus chapter 3, verse 5. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Read a few more verses and you come down to verse 8, Titus 3, 8, and it says this, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished, unto all good works. We are to serve Him, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Have you noticed something about human nature? People that have some discipline and some structure in their lives, Now, I don't mean they're so busy that they're in a state of confusion, or they just, you know, they can't catch their breath. But I mean people who have a plan, a structure. I get up at this time. I do this. I do this. This is my plan. I eat lunch. You got a plan. You got a plan. As opposed to people that just don't do anything. Just get up and do whatever they feel like doing, whenever they feel like doing it. They're miserable people. People have a purpose. They're people that typically have joy. It's like that in children. It's like that in children. Now, little children, they don't necessarily, well, initially they might want to, but later on they're not so excited about school. But the children, the little children that are taught, you get up and you get dressed and you eat your breakfast and there's a time for a meal and you're going to be at the table at supper time, and they have structure and they're happy children. And children that just come and go as they please and don't have that kind of structure, they're demanding, selfish, and they're miserable. That's human nature. And God created you that way. Listen, the command to work out your own salvation. But then notice in verse 13, the confidence to work. Here's the confidence to work. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. The confidence to work, it is God that worketh in you. Some of the best experiences I've had in Christian service, in evangelism, is when it was obvious that God just put something right in my lap. And I learned something through the years. I cannot myself make things happen. Now, I need to be active so that God can bless some work. But I cannot make things happen. I used to think there must be a formula here. And if you approached 100 people, then maybe you'd have 10 that were interested, and maybe you'd have 5 that would be more interested. You might have 3 that make a decision, and 1 comes to church. So you got to go talk to 100 people. But it never works like that. It never does, because it's God's work. It's His work. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Think about His good pleasure. Revelation chapter 4 verse 11, it says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. He created all things for His pleasure, and He created you for His pleasure. Think about this. Let's see, Luke chapter 12. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Well, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He wants to use you. I'm a poor and a weak vessel. I frequently say the wrong things, even from the pulpit. I make mistakes. I encounter things that I don't exactly know how to handle. I hear questions and sometimes objections and sometimes skepticism that I don't really know how to answer. But I'll tell you this, God will use an individual who is surrendered. You see, it takes surrender for this to happen. God will use that individual. Once again, the best example of this is the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 9, verse 4, He said, I must work the works of Him that sent me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, listen to this. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. 1 Corinthians 15, 10, as Paul is giving the witnesses to the resurrection, he includes himself. He says, last of all, he's seen in me also is one born out of due time. 1 Corinthians 15, 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. That's the thought, isn't it? I received saving grace, and I received grace today. I had a good meal, and I got up, and I'm in reasonably good health, and I had a good day. That's the grace of God. That's the sustaining grace of God. Grace be unto you every single day. All right? Was that grace bestowed upon me in vain? If I'm careless or selfish or distracted, then it was. Let me go on. 1 Corinthians 15, 10. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace was not bestowed upon me in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God was with me. He said, I labored more abundantly than they all. I worked like nobody works, but wait a minute. It was the grace of God that was in me. Amen, Paul. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Brethren, family contacted me. A family contacted me today and wanted to talk with me about something. But they contacted me because 2 weeks ago, I put an invitation to Resurrection Sunday on their front door, and they saw me on the recording device. Be mindful of that when you're out and about. They saw me on the recording device, and they came by here about 5 o'clock this afternoon and wanted to talk to me. They professed to be saved. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Number one, the command. Number two, the confidence. Now look at verse 14, the contentment. Watch this. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Okay, how about that? Wouldn't that be the opposite? Murmuring and disputing, wouldn't that be the opposite of rejoicing? I mean, I don't know how in the world anybody could rejoice and murmur at the same time. You might hear that, but it wouldn't be sincere. No, here is an exhortation to rejoice, but it's given in a negative way. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Here's a man that faced all manner of hardship. You read about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He read all manner of hardship, and yet he says, do all things without murmuring and complaining. In Philippians chapter 1, we read this a while back, verse 12. He said, but I would you should understand, brethren, the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel. The things that happened, he was in prison. The things that have happened unto me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. That's what's important to him. We haven't gotten there yet, but in chapter 4, he said in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And verse 14, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Murmurings and disputings. And that is the contentment to work. The contentment to work. In chapter 4, verse 4, the key verse to the entire book, it is rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So, here's an exhortation to work. The command to work is verse 12, work out your own salvation. The confidence is verse 13, it is God which worketh in you. And the contentment is verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. So then what is the result? Look at verse 15, and we'll use the time to pray. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, that you may be blameless and harmless. Good testimony. Sons of God without rebuke. Now, Christians that are full of murmurings and disputings, they don't really fit that verse, verse 15. Verse 15 is a call to separation. It's a call to be different. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. All right, if you are adopted in his family, then behave like a son should, like a child should. Amen. Without rebuke in the midst. Now here's the world in which we live, a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. My Savior said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We agreed to pray for these many requests, but let's also examine ourselves. Let's stand together for prayer. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. What would the Lord ask of you tonight? This is a familiar passage, and maybe you're just really, really familiar with it, but I ask you to think about it once again. The command, believer, is to work. Oh, it's not a condition of salvation. It's not a means of salvation. It's the result of salvation. The command is to work, is to serve him. And by the way, generally speaking, compared to others, and by the way, that's probably a low bar, but compared to others, this is a working church. This is a working church. But we can do better. The command to work, the confidence, it's the Lord's work. And the contentment, just trust him with it. But you can't apply any of that unless the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. And you have that blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And if you're uncertain about that tonight, won't you let me or someone here tonight help you? Won't you do that? Thank you for joining us by live stream. If you are viewing by live stream or perhaps later by recording and you're not certain about eternity, won't you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon him, trust him as your Savior? If you need some help with that, contact us. We want you to know the truth. Dear Father in heaven, I thank you for my church family. I thank you for this evening. Thank you for this assembly. Thank you for the things that we've experienced in our recent meetings. Thank you for the many visitors that we've seen recently. Thank you, Father, for the decisions. Thank you for 34 years. Thank you, Father. Help us to be faithful. Help us to conduct ourselves well in this community and through missionaries. Help us to influence the world for our Savior. I ask you now, my Lord, to bless this time of invitation. And I ask you to bless this time of prayer. In Jesus' name, I pray. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed as our pianist plays softly a hymn of invitation. Brethren, let's examine ourselves, but let's pray for these many requests.